Sorry, give me a second here. We have four brothers and sisters sharing with us today. Two brothers and two sisters, two online and two in person. So thank you all for really having it in your heart to share it to us. So we're going to start off first with our brother George, and then we're going to go to our brother George online, and then Sister Emily in person, and then Sister Dorothy online, and then we'll close off with our brother Peter. Cool? Great. So give me a second. I just want to make sure I get the screen set up, George. Give me one second. Yeah, okay, brother. I think we should be good. So yeah, great. Thanks. Oh, hold on, we have some people coming. Give me one second. Come on in. Yeah, sure.
Cool. All right, cool.
Yeah.
You guys hear me?
Give thumbs up. Luke in the back.
Yeah.
Hi, George.
Yeah. Oh, hi. All right. Yeah, so I guess I'm starting off. I'm the first of the four. And so before we start off, though, before I give my just my sharing my testimony, can we all bow for another word of prayer first? Lord, Heavenly Father, I just do thank you, Lord, for another day, just for another chance, Lord, just to gather, to share for these brothers and sisters, Lord, to have them be really blessed, Lord, and just to have us just have a really good time of sharing and just a really good time to really get to be encouraged by each other, Lord, just to really let all of us point each other back to you. Lord, I just pray for the rest of this time, that we may have the right hearts, that we may have the right minds, Lord, that we may all seek to really build off each other, Lord, and ultimately to build the church up, ultimately for your glory, Lord. So, Lord, I just do pray for the rest of this time that you may bless it, be with us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. All right. So, oh, cool. Yeah. So something that the Lord, I'm not going to share on something that the Lord has been teaching me recently, just because I feel like I'm in college now and I feel like something more relevant, something I've witnessed in high school and middle school would be a lot better for you guys to hear. So I'm going to give you part of my testimony. I hope you guys, you know, will feel encouraged by it. And I feel hope you guys will definitely take something away from it. So I think it was in middle school where the Lord started to, you know, have a profound effect on my life. If I were to pinpoint a grade, I would say somewhere around sixth or seventh grade, where I think I really started to take Christianity and just God and everything about this really more seriously. Starting from middle school, you know, I began to change how I behaved. I began to change just the way I acted too. But as I progressed in middle school, I think a lot of things did change, but a lot of things stayed the same. You know, and coming out of middle school, looking back on it now, I remember that I had this developed this pride almost. And it was a pride in my intellect. And I had this notion that, you know, deep down, I was secretly smarter than everyone and just more innately talented than them. It's definitely not a good thing to have. If you're in middle school and you have this, you know, you can always talk to me, but it's not a good, great thing to have. it's something that I think really hindered me in my walk with God, especially when I came to high school too. So coming out of middle school, right, I had this pride and this intellect, but then I also had a lot of aspirations and dreams that didn't necessarily line up with just core Christian values. And I thought that, you know, I could have these aspirations and have these dreams and have these goals in my life, but at the same time, you know, be a good Christian and be, you know, be pleasing to the Lord. And at the end of the day, you know, as I look back on it, what really held more importance in my life at that moment for me, right? Graduating middle school, going to high school, did I really desire to seek the Lord more, or did I really hold on to my dreams, hold on to, you know, the things I wanted to accomplish more? Right? And, you know, I guess to shed a bit more on the light of these dreams that I had, it was more of to build myself up. I think that's what was innately not great about these dreams. That's very self-centered, right? That coming into high school, I had this mindset of, you know, I have to do well in school, which is not a bad thing. To do well in school is not a bad thing, but I think I made that. I definitely made it an obsession. I definitely made it something that I did not want to compromise at all. You know, I didn't want to give up at all. It had the first place in my heart, even though I didn't say it did, but in my heart, it really did. I think, you know, just success in every area of my life, you know, just academic achievement, physical achievements, right? Just building up a reputation, and all these things, right, that I kind of wanted. But I didn't really say it. So going to high school, you know, I was almost living kind of this, you know, this compromise where I said I was a professing Christian, that God was first in my heart, but was he really? No, it was more of what I wanted. It was more of the things that I thought were good and right for me. And so going into high school, right, I remember specifically the first sign that the Lord showed me that my heart wasn't in the right place, that it was not chasing after him. And that was actually at a Winchester conference. Much like this one, except it was in person. Hopefully it's in person next year, but it was, and it was during one of these youth gatherings, I think, where a brother was speaking, and he gave the audience basically like an activity. He said, all right, for this upcoming year, you know, write down one thing that you want to do, like you want to achieve, you know? And then without thinking, right, I was like, you know what? I put down, get all A's in school, you know, without thinking. And it was the first thing that came into my mind. And, you know, getting all A's in school is not bad, right? But specifically for me in that moment, I remember, right, just looking down at what I wrote, I was like, oh, that was not the right answer. You know, the right answer would have been to say like, oh, read the Bible more, you know, grow closer to God or something. Something along those lines. And, you know, I think it really, at that moment, it really showed where my heart was, right? That like the first thing that really popped into my mind was school. Like this was what I wanted to have happen more than anything else. You know, this is where I wanted to improve and to succeed more than anything else. And, you know, me being who I am, I saw that and I was like, it is nothing, you know? And then I just ignored it and went about my life. And so as I went about high school and throughout my high school process, it was a lot of the Lord, I think, shutting a lot of doors. And it was about the Lord just trying to constantly, you know, turn me back to him. And unfortunately, the way he had to do that was definitely to cut down on my grades, right? And to definitely cut down on just my pride, right? My own intellect, my own pride in myself. And so I remember going into sophomore year. I should preface that, like, sometimes my testimony offends people just because, like, the times where I feel like really, really touched by the Lord and really hurt, some other people won't feel like the same way. And you'll see, it's regarding grades. I remember going to sophomore year, right? And sophomore year, I was trying really hard. You know, I was reading the Bible. I was being a good Christian, right? And there's one class that I especially struggled with. And I thought, you know, the Lord provides, you know, everything, it'll be all right. Right. And then at the end of the school year, you know, my grades didn't rise. Or at the end of the semester, my grades didn't rise in that class. And I got like a B in the class. And I was kind of sad about it. Right. But I was like, you know, it's okay. They'll provide next quarter or whatever. And the next quarter or next semester comes. And then I get two B's in that semester. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm pretty sad now because all my friends are getting A's. And, you know, it was at that point for me, it was a really trying time for me, just because a B to some people doesn't seem that bad. But I feel like in my school, it's a very competitive school, right? And it's full of like, not to be crude, but like Asian people, you know? So like the standards are very high in this school. And so getting a B was like a really big deal. And getting two B's in one semester was a huge deal. Essentially, it kind of tanked your GPA, especially that early on. And so it was really bad for me. And it hit me especially hard because, again, right, I talked about my pride, part of myself, my intellect, that I thought that I wasn't just inherently smart. And so, you know, I had all these big dreams of going to like all these big name colleges. And, you know, when your GPA tanks like that, it doesn't really help those chances. It definitely hurt my pride. But, you know, looking back on it now, it's definitely still the Lord's work. And the Lord, you know, starting to do his work in me to change me. And so coming out of sophomore year of high school, you know, I was pretty bummed out. And one of the classes I got a B in was math. So I was like, you know, this upcoming junior year, I'll take a class, a really easy math class, you know? So then like I could raise my GPA, get an A in it with like no work, you know? And so I go into junior year with this mindset, right? And at this point, my heart still hasn't changed. I still have, you know, a chance at doing what I want to do, you know, having this great reputation, having academic success, going to all these big name colleges, right? And just not offering my heart up to the Lord, and just continuing to pursue school instead of the Lord. And so I go into junior year with this mindset. And so junior year comes, and then I'm in this easy math class, right? And it's going really well. It's going super well. Like the first two, three tests, I get like above 95s, right? So it's like, it's no sweat, and I barely study for them, you know? So I'm living the you know, I'm on cloud nine or whatever, no pie in the sky kind of thing. And then I remember this another test came. I think it was the third or fourth test of the year. It came and I took the test, right? I was like, easy, it's okay. I got this. I get the test back and I get like a fat C on it, right? I'm like, oh, okay, you know, no, it's all right. It's all right. No, you know, bad things happen to good people too. You know, even the best of us fail sometimes, you know? I was like, just brush it off. Just do better next time, right? And then the next test comes and I do slightly better. The next test comes and I do a bit better than that. And so at the end of the semester, I'm like coming in with like a borderline grade, right? And I'm like, you know, this is the moment, you know, clutch times for clutch people, right? I'm gonna, you know, ace the final. I'm gonna get a good grade, get an A, right? And the final comes and I get like a B on it or something. And my grade just falls into another B category, right? And again, a B doesn't seem that bad, but this was a class that I took. This was an easier class that I took intentionally, right? To get an A in. But in fact, I didn't do that, right? And especially for me, I thought, like, oh, this should have been easy for me because I'm just a bit smarter than everyone else. Shouldn't have been that hard. But I didn't do really well in this class. And I think it was at this point where definitely a lot of doubts started coming in. I had a lot of doubts as to just the faith and like, why God would do this to me. And not only this class, but also two other classes, I didn't do well in either. So I remember this quarter was my lowest my quarter. Like I did the worst in high school. And it was especially bad because it's first semester of junior year. Sorry, I keep switching between quarter and semester, but it's semester. It was my first semester of junior year. And if you guys are juniors in high school, you know that during this time, you take SATs, you take ACTs, right? It's your standardized testing time. And, you know, I didn't do too well in those either, you know, compared to my peers and my friends in school. And so during this time, it was really testing for me. I was on like verge of tears, you know, just because I feel like I just couldn't do anything right. I just felt like everything I wanted, everything, you know, I had planned was just falling apart. Like there's no way I could, you know, get into the school I wanted. There's no way that, you know, I could ever cover my GPA well enough to like, to do well, to get into anything, you know? And then it'd always be very shameful to me, never ready for being brought up. And it was an extremely difficult time for me, especially in the light of other people doing well. But, you know, praise the Lord that at this point, it was a really big turning point for me, just because I think at this point I realized, you know, I tried to do everything my way before, you know, I tried it my way. I tried to, you know, muscle my way through. I tried to rely on my own, you know, intellect, my own knowledge. I tried to rely on, you know, just my way. Instead of handing to the Lord, I was never willing to hand my grades over to him. I was never willing to hand just how school, just school in general to, over to him, you know. And I, you know, throughout high school, I tried it my way and didn't work. So I remember at a certain point, I said, Lord, let's try your way then. Because my way has got me nowhere. It has, in fact, just led me even to a worse spot than I was before. And so at that point, I handed my life kind of, or just, I just let go, you know, of a lot of things and said, you know, I don't study for myself anymore. I study for the Lord. You know, I don't go to class anymore for myself, Lord, but I do it for the Lord, right? But I did have one condition, though. I realized that, you know, I was very prideful in a lot of things. And the Lord was dealing with my pride too. So I made a bargain with the Lord. I said, Lord, I know I'm very prideful. So if for this upcoming, you know, second semester of junior year, Lord, if I am not prideful, then you'll give me all A's. And this was a bargain. And so I go into second semester really determined. You know, I'm studying really hard. And for the first 3 months, I have A's, straight A's, like no cap, dude. Sorry, like I have straight A's, you know. And it was a really good time. And you know, the Lord was, you know, he's keeping it was keeping his end of the deal. And then I remember very specifically a certain day at a robotics meeting. I was in the back, next to the backpacks, with my friend, and. You know, My school has this app where you can like check grades and stuff. And so, you know, what you do is you pull up your grades on the phone so you can check it wherever you want. And I remember it was during this time that, you know, I pulled up my grades. My friend was happened to be next to me, right? I was like, oh, you know, I just kind of like turned my phone a bit, you know, and be like, oh, you want to kind of check these out sort of thing. And then, you know, at that moment, you know, I remember looking back on it. I was like, oh, no, there goes my pride again. There goes, you know, just my innate selfishness to just to be better than people, you know, to be prideful of my own workings. And it was really funny because from then on, my grades started to tank. And I remember specifically my CS class started to go down. And it was really difficult because, you know, once CS starts tanking, then it's hard to recover. But I remember there was like this project I had to do. And I worked really hard on this coding project. And, you know, I spent spring break doing it. You know, that's how hard I worked on it. I didn't like take spring break off to watch anime or whatever. I worked on this coding project, right? And I remember turning it in. And what do I get on the coding project? I get like I failed the project, right? So it tanks my grade. And it's like a final project. So like nothing can really raise it up anymore. So I'm just like with my CS class, I'm just done. Like, I have no chance at any good grade anymore. And then because I focused so much on my CS class, you know, my physics grade tanked too. And so now two sciences classes, my grades just tank. And, you know, I'm just standing there, you know, my hands in my pockets. I'm like, you know, what happened? You know? And again, first semester of junior year kind of washed back over me, the trauma. And it was at this point where I really considered like what I was doing in life and why I was living at a certain point too, if I can't do anything, right? You know, if I'm just so dumb and just so stupid, you know? I think it was at this point I really let go of everything. Like no more bargains, no more anything. Just Lord, have your will be done in my life. You know, whatever is your will, whatever you have in store for me, I'll follow. Because everything I try to do, everything that comes from me is not good. And it only leads to more hurt and to more destruction for me. And so I truly like just entrusted my life to the Lord. And then senior year came, right? The last year of high school. And I just went in there and just tried with as a humble heart as I could to follow the Lord, just to do well and study for him. And senior year, I remember, was where I did the best in. It was my best quarter in high school, I think by far. And I think it goes to show the Lord's really faithful to me, you know, that the Lord, no matter where I am in my own walk with him, that he's still faithful, and that he recognizes the things that, you know, we hold on to. He recognizes our own problems, you know, and he deals with them. For me specifically, it was my pride, right? May be different for you. May have different struggles. May have different things that you hold on to. But the Lord, you know, will eventually come around into your life and deal with those too. And also, he opened up my heart. Right, he changed it. Changed it from one that holds on to my own dreams to one that, you know, wants everything that the world has to offer. He changed it so that it's no longer about me, but it's about him. Right, it's no longer about achieving these things, right? It's about seeking after the Lord, right? Like there's a song, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, right? So it's, yeah. And I think one verse that really like encapsulates, that's really gotten me through the time, difficult times, and that really encapsulates my time, I guess, in high school, right? Is Proverbs 16. Verse 9, and you guys don't have to flip there, but I can read it. It's It's the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his path, his steps. That no matter how much I plan, no matter how much I dream, that there's ultimately the Lord that has my life in his hands, you know, and that he leads me, he guides me. And so, I guess as encouragement to whoever is going through this right now, whoever may be going through their own struggles in high school and middle school, you know, I leave you with Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. And if you guys could all flip there, really appreciate it. So Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. All right. And I can read it. I can read it for us, but I appreciate if you follow along too. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. To any of you guys like struggling or going through, you know, some of what I have to go through, just know that the Lord is always with you, right? And he is always working his will in you, not to make you hurt or not to make you go away from him, but it's ultimately for your good. You know, it's like a parent taking their kid to get a shot, right? At the moment it's painful, but at the end, you know, you'll be thankful that you got in the shop. You'll be thankful to the Lord that he has done this work in you, from a person on the other side. And but still, the Lord's work is being done in me. That, you know, if I were to go back, I wouldn't change a thing. That the Lord honestly has been really good to me. That even though there'll be struggles, he will always be with you. Even though it doesn't seem like he's with you, he's always leading you. And he'll always be by your side. You just have to lift up your head and just to look at him. Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Brother George. Thank you for sharing. Let's give a minute here. I'm going to ask our sister Emily to come up.
Hey,
Emily.
I
want to
know what
audience. Yeah, please. Feel free. Give me 1 second. Okay, great. So we're going to turn over the time to our sister Emily now.
I'm going to move this back a bit, if you don't mind.
Sorry, guys.
Hi. Can I start?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to turn off mute. So. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that I was really encouraged by George's sharing. I think, like, that was definitely something that I had to learn too. Is it hard to hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you guys. But I was really encouraged by George's sharing because I think the pride that I had in my academics was also something that I really struggled with. And I didn't learn, or I wasn't shown that by God in high school, which I wish I was shown earlier, but I was like more like something I learned in college. But it is definitely like something that I think most of us go through. So thank you, George, for sharing that. But yeah, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Emmeline and I'm from HGSB. And I am currently in my third year at college. And one thing that God very, very graciously showed me this semester, so I'm not really going to share my testimony, but more like something that I learned, was just the importance of Sabbath rest. And so this for me was a lesson of humility as I learned to acknowledge the preeminence of Christ over every aspect of my life. And so, yeah, so that's what I'm going to be sharing with you guys today. Yeah, so this semester was the first one back in person after 1.5 years, and I quickly got wrapped up in the excitement of seeing everyone face to face again. There was never a shortage of places that I had to run to or people to talk to or things to complete. And so I was really busy, but I really enjoyed it. I had waited over a year to get back onto campus and I didn't want to waste a single second because, like, after all, I think these past 2 years have shown us that we don't know if with things would ever suddenly end again. And so I was really, really proud of myself and how well I thought I was handling everything. And I thought that I had everything in control and fall semester was mine to own. Wait, actually, I'm gonna take off my mask. It's easier. Okay. But the reality though was that I was really exhausted because I was relying on my own strength. I was juggling my commitments like an unqualified clown, which, like, my friends say I make really bad analogies, and like there is truth in that. And I was always just falling short in one way or another. There was always something more to attain, even though I was working as hard as I could. And when I started to fall behind in studying, I became fearful that everything I had tried so hard to attain would disappear one by one. And so kind of like what I was saying at the beginning, like if you know me, you know that I'm very uptight and anxious about my academic performance. You guys, like one night last semester, my roommate like just came up to me and she was like, Emmeline, I can literally feel your stress and it's making me stress. So can you just like stop? And I was like kind of offended, but then she was definitely right because the next day my other friend came up to me and he was like, Emmeline, you radiate pure chaos and stress. And like, I need you to stay away from me during midterm season. So if that paints any picture for you, I definitely lacked true rest because I was carrying my own burdens and I was trying to fight through every hurdle with my own strength. And so this entire time, I was still doing my devos and I was still praying, but it felt more like an obligation because I knew it was like the right and necessary thing to do. My friend had once asked me what my morning routine was, and I told him that I started every day in quiet time with God. And he was really impressed, saying, I'm really encouraged that despite your busyness, you still make God a priority. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. But what I didn't tell him, though, was the multitasking and the rushedness that came with this quiet time. Like I would be eating my burnt toast while reading about Moses and the burning bush. And I would be constantly distracted by thinking of all the things I needed to get done later that day, instead of focusing on what God was trying to reveal to me. And my prayers would be really self-serving instead of God-centered. But I couldn't tell my friend that. I was too proud. And at this time, I was also doing a Bible study in Deuteronomy with every other day with one of my really close friends. And one Saturday morning, we read chapter 5 together, which is about the Ten Commandments. And usually whenever I come across a passage about the Ten Commandments, I just kind of skim over it because like they're just so familiar. But this time, God really convicted me, and I was really grabbed by verses 12 and 15, which say, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of here or out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You guys, Sabbath isn't just for the Old Testament Israelites, but it's also for you and me. And God showed me that very clearly that morning with by revealing a few truths to me at a time when I needed it the most. Yeah, so first, God showed me, or I was reminded that Sabbath is a gift from God that he wants me to enjoy because he knows my limitations. We all know Matthew 11:28-29, which says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Sabbath is true rest in God, where I can come to him and enjoy his presence. And only with God is there true contentment, because this world only brings hardship and affliction, right? But in our Sabbath, when our only thought is God, we can separate ourselves from the burdens that we carry and then finally taste the sweetness of God. And then also Deuteronomy says that Sabbath was a remembrance of being pulled out of Egypt, which represents the world, right? And then entering into the promises of God. Second, God showed me that Sabbath is a practice of a God-centered lifestyle. And so when I choose to observe the Sabbath, it is me choosing to put God above myself and my own desires, because Sabbath is something meaningful that I can offer up to God. You guys, I really love time. Like, it's so valuable, but it's also like free, you know, because like we all have time. But like, we're always so reluctant to give it up. So I held on to time really tightly last semester, and I honestly still do. Like, it's something I'm still struggling with. But if I can make the conscious choice to give up something so precious to me in order to honor God, then that is me choosing to prioritize God in my life, right? And if I love God and I want to worship him as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, then Sabbath becomes my free will offering of time. And so Sabbath reminds me that there is more to me than my work or anything else that I am aiming for on this earth, and that I am defined by the Christ that lives in me and not what I can do with my time. And hopefully this is something that you guys can also learn and apply in your own lives. And then the other thing that God showed me about Sabbath was that Sabbath is an expression of trust and faithfulness. It's trusting that God will provide and that he is the only and all-sufficient giver. By observing the Sabbath, I physically limit myself from doing everything I can for a task, right? Because you have to set apart that time for God, and instead practice trusting that God will do the work for me. And so in the end, when I am able to accomplish anything, whether it's big or small in this life, I can only say that it has all been possible because of God's mighty hand. And like, the question is, if it wasn't me, then it has to be God, right? And so Sabbath makes me rely on God. And honestly, there is no better way. And thank God that he is so faithful, because his plans and his ways are infinitely higher and better than my own. And so this lesson also kind of comes in with that, that lesson of humility too, which was definitely necessary, because I have so much pride in my heart. But in terms of humility, observing the Sabbath allows me to see that everything I attain is actually everything that I've been given, and nothing is because of my own strength, but rather because of God's graciousness. There is nothing that I can boast about, because there is no success that I actually am responsible for. These are all like really nice lessons and everything, right? But how do we actually practice the Sabbath in our own lives? And like, I don't really have an absolute answer, because I'm still learning how to do that every single day. And it's like a choice that I have to actively make, and it's hard. Part of it is reminding myself to entrust everything to Christ and to rest on his finished work. And to remember that I am not working for the world, but rather for the one who has already loved me and accepted me. But that's like always easier said than done, right? Because the flesh in me wants to be in control and chase after worldly successes. I also have to remind myself to make plenty of time for God with my spiritual disciplines, whether it be just worship through singing or prayer or scripture reading, and to also do them diligently and willingly. But also, it's not about the quantity of time, but it's about the quality of that time. It's about being single-minded and intentional with that time. God promises to us in Jeremiah 29:13 that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So let that be a reality. Every interaction with the Lord should be done with the pure and simple heart that seeks to know the Lord better. And the part all your heart means that nothing else should be on your mind. The time that you set apart for the Lord should be for him only. And so we have to be willing to limit worldly productivity and instead focus on really enjoying God's presence. And then one other easy thing to consider is how you spend your Sundays. Like, for example, are you going to church and are you joyful? So back when I was in LA for college, the church that I attended was around an hour away. And so I would spend the hours between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., either on the road to or from or at church. And my stiff heart originally was reluctant, thinking, why can't you attend a closer church so that you can sleep more and you can sleep in later. And then you can also come back earlier to study your work. And a closer church would have been more logical for my busy schedule. But the time that we dedicate to God isn't about our own ease or our own comfort. When I finally realized this, the long drive and the service and the long service no longer became a burden, but rather more time to look out the window and marvel at God's creation, more time to fellowship with the people in my car, and more time to worship alongside other brothers and sisters. And so with that, as my mindset, I can count everything, or I can count it all as joy. And with that being said, Sabbath does not have to be a Sunday, and it does not have to be any whole day out of your week, but it's about being able to declare without hesitation that God is worthy of your time, he's worthy of my time, and then using that time in a way that is pleasing to him. And I know it's not going to be easy, but it is a command from God. Hebrews 4:11, the first part says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest." And so personally, like for me, looking ahead, these next 2 weeks are going to be especially tough, I think, to like observe the Sabbath as I prepare to take a very scary 7.5 hour long exam that will heavily impact my future. So if you're curious about that test, you can ask me about it. But pretty much all my time now is spent on studying an infinite list of various subjects. And so my fear of failure, and it's a really strong fear, tempts me to forsake time with God in order in favor of cramming. But I am reminded that writing this sharing and then also just kind of like my own devos, I am reminded that my future is ultimately in God's hands and that I need to spend the present in his presence. I'm really proud of that line, you guys. clinging to him and his providence. And I know many of you are in high school or middle school, and you guys are all working really hard right now. And like George was saying, that's a good thing, right? And we praise God that you guys are all glorifying him as students. But it's also really important that you don't neglect God in your life, right? He is the most important one of all. And so I encourage you all in this new year to observe the Sabbath too, to spend quality time with God, to draw close to him in every single day, and to build your relationship with him, because at the end, he is the only one that matters. Okay, thank you guys.
Thank you, sister.
Before we go to Dorothy, I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that our brother and our sister shared that I was just writing down. Just when I don't know if you guys can sense just the closeness that our brother and sister had with the Lord during these challenges. I just wrote a couple notes. George said, you know, I just told God that my grades are his. And Emmeline said a couple of times, I am defined by the Christ that lives in me. I am not working for the world, but for the one that loves me. God is worthy of my time, and my future is only in his hands. I know that Brother George and Evelyn put a lot more words that were just really, really memorable, but these are the ones that that I just really spoke to me. So let's turn the time over to our sister Dorothy. Dorothy, you don't mind, give me 1 second to turn on to set this up a little bit.
Okay, I think Dorothy, I think we're good for you. Go ahead.
Awesome. Can everyone hear me? Is audio clear?
Yeah, thumbs up, everybody. All right.
Oh, yay! Yeah. Ready. Great. Hello, everyone. Yes. I also wanted to just echo very quickly, yes, George and Emmeline sharing kind of go hand in hand, just this idea of studying and pursuing academics or studies, and also the importance of using our studies as a way to worship the Lord. And I think that's complemented very well by rest. And that's something that I also struggle with a lot as a college student, and I'm still figuring out in my last year of college. And so, just really take those words to heart and heed their advice and their caution, but also like, just the things that they shared, very applicable and very real that we'll continue to learn our entire lives. So really encouraged by both of your guys' sharings. My name is Dorothy. I am currently in my last year at UC Davis, which is very exciting. And for today's sharing, I think the Lord really placed on my heart, especially in the past months, but also in looking back at my entire testimony, just the simple importance of knowing the gospel and how it has transformed my life and how it continues to transform my life. And for you all, I hope that you can consider, and I'm going to pose a question that you can think about as I'm sharing, is how the gospel has become your living reality, or is it your living reality? Do you still regard it as like the greatest thing of your life and the crux of your faith, or has it become something that has doled out over time to you, or is it something that has grown numb? I think this is something that I have struggled with and a lot of my walk, even though I've walking with the Lord for many years, it is something that the Lord is continuing to teach me over and over again, even in moments where I don't feel it being active in my life. I'm always reminded to turn back to it every day and really evaluate how it is transforming my heart and the way that I live my life. And so with that, I'm going to give kind of a short run of my testimony and how the Lord has used that to change me from time after time. I'm sure as many of you have, I grew up in a Christian household. My parents had gone to HGSF and HGSB in the past. And so that is why I do come to these conferences, is because they have a lot of their roots. But yes, so I grew up in a Christian household with believing parents. And I think that is definitely a huge blessing that the Lord has given me believing parents, because I was exposed to the gospel at a really young age, as I'm sure many of you have been. And so I had the benefit of knowing it very early on. But I think even with that, even though I was taught the gospel very early on in my life, that doesn't mean it was always a living reality to me. I tell people usually when I share my testimony that I prayed the prayer when I was four. I knew that Jesus loved me. I knew what he had done on the cross for me. And so at the little tiny bit of information and knowledge I had at the age of four, which is not a lot, I was like, okay, I want to commit my life to the Lord. And so I accepted him as my savior. But obviously at four, you only know so much. Even the idea of your own sin and all of that is still very little. And so I went through a lot of my childhood, you know, attending Sunday school every Sunday and hearing the gospel over and over again. And it was a very constant reminder in my life. But I think it's kind of like when you have like a parent who's reminding you a lot of like one simple thing. Like for example, your parents reminding you to really pick up after your things or to clean up your room. And they remind you of this every day. Of course, at some point, like you're kind of going to grow like numb or desensitized to this like warning. And you just like, will put it off more and more as you hear it more and more. And so I'm sure you can all think of something that maybe your parents continue to tell you about over and over again, and you've just like grown like deaf to it. And every time they say it, it's like, it doesn't even exist. And so I think for similarly, not maybe in that same way where the gospel didn't exist in my life, but it was just something that I think I heard so often. And growing up, I also was very prideful. This common theme between all of us. We all talked about pride because it's a very, very real thing and a really big sin struggle that I think a lot of us don't talk about enough, because it is kind of, I think for me, when I talk about my pride, it is kind of humiliating when I actually say it out loud, because I'm admitting like, oh, I feel like I'm better than this person, or that I have more spiritual knowledge than you. Like, it's kind of humiliating, but that's a good thing. And so, I developed a lot of spiritual pride very early on, thinking that because I grew up in the church and I was always surrounded by these truths, that I was just naturally in it. But I think I realized that maybe the gospel wasn't a living reality for me when I was really convicted of my sin. I think I was in fifth grade, and I confessed to my mom that I did this thing one night where I called God's mean name, and I think I didn't mean to do it, but I had done it, and then I was like, oh my gosh, obviously I've sinned in my entire life, but in that moment, for some reason, that sin just particularly stood out to me. And then at that point, when I told my mom, I was so fearful. And at that point, I really questioned my salvation, because I was I committed this sin, and I was afraid that I committed the unforgivable sin, and that God would not accept me anymore because I blasphemed before his name. And I was so embarrassed, and I was so afraid that if I had died that day, that I wouldn't go to heaven. And so for a long time, I had this fear in me, and that was kind of evidence that maybe I didn't fully trust in the work of the cross or believe in the gospel, because I was oh shoot, I know that Jesus died on the cross for me, but I felt this really heavy weight of guilt and shame. And so so that spiraled into many years of me feeling like I had to earn my salvation through, and obviously we know that salvation is not something that is earned. It is something that has been freely given to us by the grace of God. And it is in Ephesians 2 where it talks about grace through faith. But even with that, I couldn't fully wrap my mind around or fully apply the gospel in that one situation where I was convicted of my sin. And so for a long time, I was really working to make myself righteous through my own means and not letting the Lord really mold me or work in me. And so I think because of that, and also me feeling like I already knew the gospel, I would just try to do things on my own. And so I would spend copious amounts of time trying to be in the word or trying to pray. But I knew that my heart was not in the right place, because I didn't really feel peace about it at any of the times that I did that. I was just kind of doing it because out of fear that I wasn't truly saved, or trying to prove my salvation to myself. But again, not really going to the Lord in that. And so for many years, I was wrestling with trying to, obey the Lord and be righteous for the sake of salvation, and not because I was already saved. And so my heart and my intentions were not fully pure, and they were not fully to please the Lord or glorify the Lord in the things that I was doing, or in me doing these spiritual disciplines. It was just not rooted in the right motives. And so I think over time, the Lord had to really just work in my heart. And it was truly by his grace that in all those years, he continued to protect me and protect my faith and give me hope, because there are many times looking back where I was like, man, I could have given up in that moment, or I could have given up in all those times where I was trying so hard. I was exhausted and I was burnt out in trying to kind of prove my righteousness or salvation by reading the word so much or praying so much. But the word still gave me hope, because I knew in that time I was struggling, and I knew in that time I was wrestling with whether or not I was saved. But he just instilled in me this hope that, as long as I continue to pursue him and persist, that these things are good, and that over time he will change my heart to do it for the right reasons. And so, he had done that graciously over time. And I think throughout middle school and high school, just really changing my heart to see what I had really stored up as head knowledge, or things that I took spiritual pride in. Yes, spiritual pride is a very real thing. Pride is not just in the realm of academics or work. Sometimes we can also grow spiritual pride when we think that we know so much about the word, or so much about our faith. But I think for me, it didn't truly become heart knowledge which I believe is something that changes you, yes, inwardly and outwardly to how you live your life. And so I think it was the end of my sophomore year where I just had to submit to the Lord because I was so tired of constantly trying to prove my faith. I felt like I was proving my faith to myself and to the Lord. And so I remember there's this moment where I was at home and I couldn't go anywhere because I didn't have a car. I didn't have a license. I was just stuck at home and I was reading his word. And I think in that moment, I was just like, okay, Lord, like I need to surrender everything that I have built up in me trying to pursue righteousness without truly being rooted in the gospel and rooted in Christ. And he just, I don't know how to explain it, but he kind of just lifted all of that burden that I had felt. And I also want to emphasize that it also isn't one of those moments where it was like, boom, in that instant that everything in my life just like took a whole 180. Like it took, I think in that time between me being convicted of my sin and me really letting go of my own ways of doing things, it was a span of about 6 years. And it was like the slow and steady work that the Lord was doing in my life. And I think that is often something that we think, like in our testimony, we have to have this like one really big moment that changes everything. But I think for me, it was through the course of a really long time that he was slowly like hammering and molding me into who he wanted me to be and to really trust in the work of the cross in my life. And so even though I, yes, in high school was able to kind of let go of that, even then there were moments, many moments where the gospel was still really dull to me and really numb. And I think I, there were just moments where I was like, Lord, I know that this is like the simple truth of my faith. And that's like everything that my hope rests on, but still for some reason, like, I think I was very apathetic towards it. And so apathy, meaning like I did not have any enthusiasm whenever, they were saying, or preaching the gospel again, or, I like kind of lost concern for it. And I really wanted like to gain like more spiritual knowledge. And I thought that like I could learn more beyond that, or that there was more beyond the gospel, which there is. I think the Lord is definitely was teaching me a lot during those years. But I really had to question like whether or not I was constantly returning to the gospel as my truth. And I remember there were times where during bread breaking, I would sit there with like the bread and the cup in my hands, and I would be like, man, Lord, I just want you to like move my heart in like knowing that this represents like Christ's blood and his body. But there were moments where I would just sit there and it just wouldn't feel like it meant anything to me, or that it was just a truth that I was constantly being reminded of, or that was being repeated in my life. But I continue to pray about this. And again, after like a lot of slow and steady moving in my heart, the Lord was faithful to reveal to me more and more of my sin and my need for the cross daily, and not just to be reminded of this on Sundays or during bread breaking when we're taking communion, but that it was a living reality for me every day in my life. And so I think this is something that he's continuing to teach me as well, even now in college. In the past few months, I was studying Romans with a class at my church. And within even just the first chapter of Romans, if you want to turn there, you can. In Romans, like 1:16-17, I'll just read it really quickly. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And this very truth that may seem so, it is so simple. Like the gospel can be explained by just saying like, it is Christ's life, his death and his resurrection. And that being God's plan to redeem humanity. Like that in itself can just summarize the gospel. But it can also become like this thing that you study for your entire life and still will never get to the end of it. And I think that's something that's so beautiful, is that reminder that I need to preach to myself the gospel and remind myself of this truth daily, especially in the moments where I feel like I'm growing numb to it or my heart is growing dull. Because what it really means to live in the gospel constantly is that it changes the way that you pursue the Lord. It changes the way that you see people, the way that you wrestle with sin as that tension between like your flesh and your spirit grows stronger, and that you don't want to sin because you know the work that Christ has done on the cross. And it changes the way that you pursue righteousness. And for me, it was no longer out of a place of fear or guilt or shame, but it was out of a place that knew that my salvation was already secured, completely absent of anything that I could ever do. But my salvation is secured because it is in Christ, and I could pursue righteousness because I wanted to please the Lord and not because I was trying to prove something. And just in this fact of knowing that Christ lived his life in complete holiness, absent of sin, yet he became the blameless sacrifice on our behalf. Like, to not only hear that, but be enamored by it and be so moved by that. Because I realized that even though I was longing for more spiritual knowledge or wisdom, that if it's not grounded in the crux of my faith, which is the gospel, then like what foundation is everything else that I'm learning or being convicted of? Where is that rooted in? And so, my challenge to you all, and I know that this is a truth that you all have probably heard over and over again in your lives, but to really examine your heart towards the gospel and how you're living out the testimony of Christ, because it's so simple, but it's also so rich, and living in it isn't always easy because, you know, we face the temptations of this life and the lust of our flesh and our pride as well. But the more that you apply to different aspects of your life, whether it is obeying your parents, whether it is in your studies, or whether it is how you love and serve others, the fuller your understanding of the gospel will be. And something that I did that helped me was I wrote out the gospel. I just typed it up on a Google Docs, and that helped me really see like, what do I truly believe is true? And like, what is the gospel? And how I would explain it to other people who didn't know it. And so, I challenged you, if this is something that you struggle with, or if you feel like your heart has grown numb to it, also that you would continue to pray that the Lord will soften your heart, because he did that in my life. Even in the past few months, there are moments where I felt like my heart had been hardened, you know, over time. And I needed to pray that the Lord would just soften my heart, because only he's the one who can really do that. And he is faithful to do it, because that is his will, is for us to live in that truth. And so, yes, I think that concludes my sharing. We'll continue to pray for you all as well, that it will also become your living reality. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Dorothy. Just letting everybody know, so in terms of our time, the breaking of bread starts at 11:15, so we still have time. I know the meeting officially ends at 11, but we have like this gap to get to 11:15. So let's give our attention to Brother Peter, and I don't want Brother Peter to feel in any way like rushed, because I really want this is really important for us. And so let me if you don't mind, I'm gonna do a couple things real quick. I'm gonna our brothers asked that we could turn off the recording for this, and so let's just make this a real intimate time amongst those that are online as well as in person. So give me one second, brother, if you don't mind.